I don't know about you, but if you've ever struggled with the question of who am I? Or how about who was I? How about where did I go? How do I find that person again? People write to me and they tell me these crazy challenges they have. Some of them have to do with being in toxic relationships, a lot of them actually. Some of them are about being around family. That's very difficult. A lot of toxic emails I get, not from them, but they're in toxic situations and they want to know how to get out of them or how to deal with them. But there's a common theme in some messages that I get that has to do with wanting to find the old me or figure out who I am. That might be their question. In fact, one person in the Facebook group, the Overwhelmed Brain Empowerment group over in Facebook, asked the question about how do I find out who I was if I was born into a toxic relationship or a toxic family situation? I can relate. I was born into an alcoholic household. Ever since I was one, my mom got together with my stepfather, who was an alcoholic, and he got worse and worse over the years. And so my upbringing was a toxic, dysfunctional family. And when you're in a toxic, dysfunctional family, you learn some unhealthy coping mechanisms. Not everyone, but a lot of people learn unhealthy coping mechanisms. And that's what turns into dysfunctions in your later relationships. And so I share that because the person in the Facebook group said, well, I don't know who I was before that because I wasn't anyone. This is who I've always been. Now, I believe we're born with the ability to be anyone we want, but when we're taught and conditioned and in an environment that isn't conducive to be someone that does healthy behavior, we might be doing behaviors that are unhealthy to us and other people around us. So we don't have any model of reality that will be beneficial to us or other people around us. Typically, again, this is the typical scenario that unfolds when somebody grows up in a household that is very unhealthy, very dysfunctional. And so that's a great question. He said, everything tries to teach you how to find who you were before you got into that relationship. But what if you were born into an abusive household with a lot of toxicity? So yeah, that's a great question. And this is something I've had to struggle with. And it is something I found the answer to. I'm not saying it's the answer for everyone, but it is something that I have had to discover about myself because I was one way of being for about 40 years of my life, almost 40 years of my life. And then I am now another way of being. I'm a different person, a almost completely different person. I still have the same sense of humor, and I still have a lot of the same interests and things that I do that are fun and enjoyable, but my personality has changed and how I relate to people has changed, mainly because I found myself. What does that mean? It means that I've discovered who I want to be. So I don't want to go back to who I was or who I was before the dysfunction, because there was no life before the dysfunction. If you believe in something spiritual, that's a different story, but I look at my past and I realize that I was born into dysfunction, and that means that in order to figure out who I am, I really had to figure out who I wanted to be. That was the bottom line. I have to figure out who I want to be. In order to do that, this is sort of the main comment on my episode today, which is when you live a life of exclusions, when you live a life of boundaries, you get to find out who you are. The more you exclude, the more distractions you eliminate. There are still some questions. I have excluded what doesn't feel good. I have excluded what doesn't serve me. I have excluded relationships that don't work. I have lived a life of exclusions until I no longer have to exclude. This is not easy. Sometimes you will be challenged. Sometimes you will find yourself saying things like, but I can't exclude this thing or this person or this job. I can't do it. I need it. Or because they're family, you're not supposed to exclude family. You're supposed to, you know, what I've heard, blood is thicker than water. That's what people tell me. You're not supposed to exclude family. Blood is thicker. And so I say, that's fine. If you want to keep family in your life and you can accept that they're toxic or dysfunctional, make your life miserable, if that's okay with you, I don't have a problem with it. But I have a problem with it with me. So if somebody is in my life that is toxic or dysfunctional and they're bothering me, even though that sounds a little bit arrogant, a little bit pretentious, but if they consistently and continuously bother me and we've had conversations or we haven't had conversations and I don't think there's anything we can do to change the scenario, then I might exclude that person from my life. My goal is to have the conversation. Hey, why are you saying that? That doesn't feel very good. Why are you talking like that to me? That doesn't feel good. That's disrespectful. That would be the kind of conversation that I would have with somebody like that. But if they don't change or don't want to change or show up in a way that doesn't feel very good, that might be my qualifier. If it doesn't feel very good, then I might have to exclude them from my life and love them from afar or choose not to. This is my life of exclusions so that I can open the door, I can open the path to what I want to include. Because I tell you what, if you haven't learned this by now, there are certain things and people and places even that if you don't exclude them, you can't include other things, places, and people. The reason is because they're occupying space. Those things, places, and people are occupying space. So what are you occupying your space with? I've had episodes where I've talked about throwing away my pictures, throwing away pictures that bother me. That's just my qualifier. It bothers me, so I throw it away. I don't like it. Every time I look at this picture, I have this bad feeling. That bothers me, so it's gone. And today in the digital age, delete. That's all we need to do. That picture bothers me. Delete. But that's the only picture I have, and it's the only picture I'll ever have. But how do you feel when you look at it? Yeah, but I don't know if I should do it. Then don't. Stick it in an archive folder. Never look at it again. It's sitting there. It's there if you ever want it. But as long as it doesn't bother you anymore, then you're okay, right? Because you don't see it. You don't have to worry about it. Okay, if that works for you, great. That's how I operate. I'm going to exclude things so I can include other things. These are the things I'm excluding in my life. And then as I go through my life, things will show up. People will show up. The people and the things that I don't want in my life. And then I have to make another choice. Now, this isn't like an active exclusion. I don't look at that person and say, okay, you are out of my life now. It's a matter of reflection. When I reflect on what's in my life that bothers me, I ask myself if I can take that out of my life or minimize its exposure in my life. Can I do that? And the more I do that, I mean, this sounds like my ebook I made a long time ago, Clear the Path to Happiness. The more I exclude things, the better I feel. And as I exclude things, it opens up the door for new things. That makes me feel better. And it's not always possible. I understand. Well, I can't exclude that job. That's how I make money. I've done that. I've excluded jobs that were my only source of income. Actually, when I was married, it was my only source of income. And if I didn't have it, if we didn't have my job, we would be in line at the soup kitchen within a few days. And then I quit, and we were in line at the soup kitchen within a few days, and I was happier than ever because I got rid of something that bothered me. Now, you have to have a very understanding partner or family or friend or whoever you're with in this life. You might have to have these understanding people who support you and are willing to take this journey with you, because it's very difficult to look at the people in your life and say, well, I need to exclude these things and it's going to affect them too. I get that. I totally get that. I have it a little easier than a lot of people because I don't have kids. And that takes a level of responsibility and obligation away from me. Now, if I did, it would be a different story. And I would go through the motions, whatever it took, to make sure those kids were taken care of. But there's a point where kids grow up and they move out, hopefully. And if they don't, you might have a special needs child. That does happen too. I know, actually, my sister has a special needs child that they will be taken care of for the rest of his life. And that just blows my mind how dedicated they are. And I know they're dedicated because they're his parents. That's how it works. But it still blows my mind. I have so much respect and admiration for somebody in that position, because I know their life is a lot different than mine. And they find ways. They find ways to enjoy life. And they know they have challenges. I know they have challenges. And they still find ways. They work with it. And that's sometimes what needs to happen. You need to work with what you have. You have to accept what you have so that you can move forward with some sense of enjoyment and some sense of fulfillment. And I don't know, maybe they are completely fulfilled because of their circumstances. I haven't actually talked to them about this, you know, how happy they are or fulfilled they are or not. But I do know that they are committed. They're committed to taking care of their family, of themselves, and they're committed to living the best life they can. And again, every time I think about them, my heart just swells up. They are just amazing people because they have challenges, yet they still find ways to make everything work. They do what they can and they still enjoy life even with the challenges. And sometimes you have to do that. You have to accept what is in your life and move through those challenges and don't fight it. Sometimes you just have to accept that there's no fight. So if there's no fight, what else can we focus on? How can we make this work? How can we make this great? You know, a few months ago, the holidays were here, and if you're like me, your social battery might still be running low. It's that time when we all crave a little solitude to recharge. And therapy can be a powerful tool in understanding and managing our social energy. And it's not just about coping with life's challenges, but also learning how to set boundaries that honor our need for recharge. And that's where today's sponsor, BetterHelp, comes in. It's online, it's flexible, and it's designed to fit your life. You just fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime without any extra charge. So if you're feeling like your social battery is drained, or maybe you're not sure how much socializing is right for you, BetterHelp might be the answer. It's a step toward creating a life where you don't feel overwhelmed by social commitments. Find your sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/brain today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/brain. And you know, these days, a lot of people are raving about the benefits of fasting, and I get it. The promise of weight loss, mental clarity, and better gut health is alluring. But let's be real, the thought of not eating, that can be daunting. And that's where Prolon comes in. Imagine a program that nourishes your body while tricking your cells into thinking they're fasting. That's Prolon for you, a plant-based nutrition program so revolutionary. And it's not just about dropping pounds, it's about supporting your cardiovascular health and reducing that stubborn abdominal fat. And I was skeptical at first, but then I tried their 5-day program and I was blown away. And it's probably not for the reasons you think. They turned me into a green olive lover. That has never happened in my life. So thank you so much to Prolon. The best part is it comes with everything you need in one box. Snacks, soups, beverages, all designed to maintain a fasting state without the hunger pangs. Thousands of doctors recommend it. So if you're ready to experience this for yourself, Prolon is offering the Overwhelmed Brain listeners an exclusive deal. Right now, get 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. That's the one I took. I'm so glad I took it. Just go to prolonlife.com/brain. That's prolonlife.com/brain for this special offer. prolonlife.com/brain. And then there are people that do have a choice and they don't make it. It's too scary, or they don't know what's on the other side of that choice. Those are the best kind of choices, because usually those are the choices that we don't make that we probably need to make a change that's so great that changes everything. Wow, there's so many duplicate words in there. But when you make a big choice that you've never made before, that will be the choice that changes everything, most likely. And that's why it can be so scary. But I think we can get sucked into the belief that the have-tos are necessary and we have no choice. You know what the have-tos are? Like, I have to do that. It has to be that way. I have no choice. We get sucked into that belief that the have-tos are necessary. Like, I can't possibly take that person out of my life because they are my mom, dad, sister, brother. That's the family thing again. I have to keep them in my life. I have no choice. That can certainly limit you if you are stuck in that have to category. Like, I have to keep things the way they are. Then you take away your choice. So you have to kind of think about that. Do I really need to have this person in my life? If I don't have this person in my life, then I won't get to see my nieces and nephews. Right. I had a client like that once. She couldn't see her niece or something unless she got along with a certain person. And so she had to accept the relationship with that person in order to have a relationship with that person's children. That is a sacrifice that sometimes needs to be made if you want certain people in your life. You might need to sacrifice your level of comfort in order to have somebody else in your life. I'm not saying you should, but I'm saying that there is a level of acceptance. It's really all about acceptance. You do have to accept that this person's in your life, and acceptance means you don't necessarily complain about it anymore because you just have to accept that's the way it is. It does free you. Acceptance does free you. But accepting difficult people is a difficult thing. And when you do accept the difficult person, so you get the greater benefit of what that means, then you can do what my sister does and her husband and their kids. They make it work. So sometimes you do have to make it work, and sometimes it's worth it. If it's worth it, then it's worth doing, in my opinion. Sometimes we don't make a choice because other people think it's wrong for us. Like, we want to make the choice. We have this choice to make. But somebody doesn't like it, so I better not do it. That can hold us back. And if it holds you back, then where I'm going with this is that you will have difficulty finding yourself or finding who you want to be. Because the choices in front of you, they will shape who you become. That's why I started talking about exclusions. When we exclude people and things and places in our life, then what ends up happening is we clear the path to what can be. And the most important part of this is excluding what bothers you starts to help you define who you are. Honoring yourself, honoring your boundaries, starts to help you define who you are. So if you are stuck trying to figure out who you are, remember that the obstacles in your life, the things and people and places that make you feel bad or just bother you in some way, are hindering you from finding who you are. They are a hindrance because your mind is occupied by them. You are stuck in either stress or tension or any minor state of negativity thinking about those things, places, and people. I know I'm using it in an opposite order, like a noun, people, places, things. It's just how it's coming out. But this is what's happening. If you are preoccupied with these things, places, and people, and you don't feel very good about the specific things, places, and people, then you end up preoccupied. And staying preoccupied keeps you from finding out who you are or discovering yourself through the honoring of boundaries and continuing to shape into the person that you want to be. Because how can you shape into the person that you want to be if there are these hindrances? This is why going through your exclusions, choosing what to exclude, who to exclude, and even the places that you don't want to be is how you redefine who you are. Sometimes that needs to happen. Sometimes you need to redefine who you are if you don't even know who you are. Or sometimes if you don't know how to find happiness, you have to take away what makes you sad or angry. You have to move away from what makes you sad or angry or upset in some way. Again, I know it's not always easy. But if you start thinking like this and you start taking tiny little steps every day that removes some sort of hindrance in your life, you end up discovering more and more who you want to be. You end up shaping yourself into the person you want to become, even if you don't know who that is. Because this and this and this and this aren't in your life anymore. They aren't stopping you from being who you want to be. They aren't occupying your mind. They aren't stress points. They aren't tension points. They aren't in your mind anymore because they're back there. They're behind you so that you can move forward. When I was in my 30s, I was restarting my relationship with my stepfather. And I thought, you know, I'm in a new place. I'm feeling really good about myself and I have boundaries now. And I can start a relationship with him again. And so that's what I started doing. I started reconnecting with him. I even called him Dad a few times, and he loved it. And then I found out something that he did that was inexcusable. And it crushed any thoughts of reconnecting with him and reconciliation and completely ended our relationship. It was done. Because after that, after what I found out, I couldn't possibly reconnect with him again, and it hurt. And it was hard because I have good memories of the person he was when he wasn't drunk. I have good memories of what he did for us and the kids, and I have all these good memories, and I have a ton of bad memories, but I was willing to accept the past. I was willing to move forward and move through whatever that was and heal from it and restart the relationship again. Even though I know even today he still drinks, even though I know he could still get drunk, but I could back away or step away when he was like that and not connect with him during those times. I really thought I had it down. I thought I was going to make this happen. But I found out this information shortly, like right after I decided that I was going to reconcile with him. So it was like the universe throwing that in my face. Hey, before you do that, this is what happened. Holy, wow, I don't even know what to do with that. And so I had to make an exclusion, I guess. I made the choice to exclude him from my life. And it's weird to say it was hard because he's caused so much pain and trauma in my entire family's life. But it was difficult because he did act like a dad. And, you know, as I was growing up, he was a father figure to me, even though he was one of the worst. He was a terrible male role model. But I still grew an attachment because I was a child and That's what happens. We grow attachment even to abusive people. And so that ended. And in order for that to end, I had to accept that this is the way it is. This is the person I need to exclude. And my life is better. There's still sadness there by what could have been, but there's also an understanding that there's no possible way that we would ever reconnect because he went too far. He went past the line that he should never have passed. So he's excluded, and my life is better for it. And he has been absent from many members of my family, so he has slowly disappeared from their lives as well, and their lives have gotten better. Because some people are a vortex of misery, and they suck everyone in to their misery, and that becomes their life too. So we just have to be careful. That's the kind of exclusion that is very much worth doing if you can. The pictures, like I said, are an exclusion. My choice of honoring my boundaries with another family member, that was a way to say no instead of yes, because I used to be the people pleaser and would say yes and would uncomfortably just agree to things, but I stopped doing that. And so that is an exclusion, the exclusion of being a yes person all the time, like people pleasing yes. How about my partner? When we first met, we started connecting and getting closer, and it was a long distance relationship. And she said, well, I don't know how this is going to work because I'm in Georgia and you're in New Hampshire. Are you going to move? And I decided for the first time ever that I wasn't going to move for someone else. If I'm going to move, it's going to be for me. And so I said, no, I'm not going to move. I think for the first time, I'm not going to follow my heart and follow a girl because I'm learning who I am. I'm learning to say yes to things I want and no to things I don't want, and really honoring myself. And for the first time, I'm honoring myself to the point where I don't want to be convinced. I don't want to be drawn toward something until I really give it some thought. I don't want to move until I've given this space, this place that I live in, some time. And so we had this conversation, and it was kind of sad because she wasn't going to move because her son was down here, and I wasn't going to move because I just wanted to figure myself out. That was my journey. I wanted to figure myself out and who I was and who I was becoming, and it was all new to me. So I decided that I'm going to make my decisions on my own time, even though it would affect our relationship. So I made that decision. I told her, I guess, you know, this is it. I don't know. I guess we can stay friends, but it's not going to go any further because we don't want a long distance relationship. And it was disheartening. It wasn't like sad and crying, but it was disheartening. And I remember the next day I called her and I said, you know what? I think I am going to move. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, what stops me from moving down there? And if I don't like it, moving back. I don't have any stuff. I mean, I only have enough that I can throw in my truck, and then I can come down there, and if it doesn't work out, I can just move back. Why not? So I gave myself that option, but I made the choice, and that was the difference. The difference for me, and it made a difference to her too, but the difference for me was that I was making a choice for me. I wasn't making it for her. This is what I wanted. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to try it out. I wanted to see her. I wanted to be with her. So I'm going to move. That's what I said. I wanted to make a decision for me. And this is a big decision. And I told her, this is the first time I've made the choice to move for myself. And she said something like, I'm so glad you did that. I'm so glad you didn't move for me. That puts all the responsibility on me, and that makes it sound like you're not your own man. You know, I forget her words. I'm just filling in the gaps right now. But that makes me feel good that you are secure enough to not only say, no, I'm not coming, but also say, yes, I am going to come, but it's my choice. And it's also my choice to go back if I don't want to be here. So again, I'm a lot of paraphrasing there, but that's really what we talked about. That's how we talked, is that she was so happy that happened. that she felt that I was secure in myself and confident in myself, and I was making decisions for me instead of making a decision maybe based on the fear of loss. I think that's how I used to make my decisions. I don't want to lose that, so I better make this decision. Instead of doing that, I just asked myself, what do I want? And at that time, I said, I want to live here for a while and see what it's like. New Hampshire's beautiful. I'll stay a while. And my family's up here. This is something that gives me time to reconnect with them. And then after one night, I thought, wait a minute, I can just move back if I wanted to. This isn't a permanent life decision. I don't have to be here forever. And this is an opportunity to be with somebody who actually might make me happy. After all, the path is clear to include someone in my life. Why don't I do it? And so I made that decision. And 10 years later, here we are. 10 years, has it been? 9 years. It's been 9 years since we've gotten together. And I'm still happy. I'm enjoying our life. We're going to get married. It's wonderful. And don't write to me saying, it's been 9 years. Why are you getting married so late? I already talked about it. Talked about it in a different episode. You'll have to listen to the other ones. But this is the decision I've made. And it was made based on what I want. It was made based on what would make me happy. It wasn't made on what I fear losing. So to wrap this up, to the person who wrote that in Facebook, if you don't know who you are, I believe you do have to go through your exclusions. I do believe that once you clear all these obstacles in your life, that you start to structure, you start to shape who you want to become, even if you don't know who you want to become. Because what ends up happening is the things that make you feel good define who you are. I mean, the things that make you feel bad do too, but the things that make you feel good define who you want to be. This feels good. I want to move in that direction. This feels good. I want to move in that direction. And the more you do that, the more you discover yourself. Because you may be a blank slate. You may have to write your future. You may have to write the boundaries of who you are. When I say boundaries, I just mean the foundation of who you are. You might have to build yourself from the ground up. That is what I had to do. It wasn't completely ground up. I still had some foundation, but I had to discover who I was, especially after my divorce, and who I wanted to be. And I had to change, do a complete 180 of who I used to be, because I didn't want to be that person anymore. If you haven't ever heard me talk about this, I used to be an emotionally abusive person. I used to hurt the people I loved because I had terrible coping mechanisms and I didn't know how to treat people that you love. And now I know that it's so much more fulfilling to see them happy, even if that means they would be happier without me. Because I would rather them make decisions that are right for them than to please me or the fear of losing me or the fear of anything. I want them to make decisions that feel good to them. And I want to support those decisions. And the magic about all that is that when you support someone's decisions and you support whatever makes them happy, they want to be with you more. Typically, this is what happens. People who are supported want to be close to the people who support them, or at least near them. They want to be in their life because getting support from someone is such a good feeling. And it doesn't take much to say, I want you to be happy. If that's what makes you happy, then go for it. It doesn't take much to say that. We just have to get past our own limitations and our own fears. Because somebody might say, yeah, I would rather be by myself. And if you can be in a position where you can say, then that's what I want for you too, because if that's what makes you happy, then I want that because I want you to be happy. If you can say that, then you're in a very elevated space. I'm not saying it would be easy for me to say that. Like if my partner Asha said, I would be happier without you, then I would have to say, what? Why? Why are you saying that? Let's talk. That's the first thing that would happen. But if we had our talk and she didn't feel love and connection toward me anymore, then I would have to accept that she had made her choice and I would rather see her happy without me than unhappy with me. And when you support somebody like that, at least that leaves a good feeling in them. If that's the last time you're going to see them, at least they remember you that way, because that is something that can leave the door open. Who knows? They may come back. But if you just say, well, fine, you're a jerk, I never want to see you again, you may not have that opportunity. But the point is, when you support someone and you support their path to happiness, the decisions that they make that make them feel good, 99 out of 100 times, that person's going to want to stick around, because it feels good to be supported. And most people want to be with people who support them. And so that was a little tangent, but I do want to end with this. When you like who you are, when you finally shape yourself into who you want to be, when you become that person, don't give it up to anyone. Keep it. That is who you are. If you like yourself, if you love yourself, which I think is a good idea, when you love yourself, don't give that away. Keep that love for yourself. Don't let anybody take your love for yourself away from you. And that means when people say, well, you're not worthy, you're not worth it, you're not lovable, you don't deserve it, you're stupid, all the negative things that people can say and make you feel, don't believe it, because what's happening is they are pushing their limitations onto you, trying to make you feel worse than them so that they can be in a better space inside themselves. And you don't want to waste time with people like that, because they will bring you down to a level below them. And if they're already that low, you don't want to be any lower. That's why when you like and even love who you are, you never want to give that away. Don't give that up. Thanks for joining me. I hope this is helpful. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to give a special thank you to Crystal. She decided to give more this week. She's already a monthly contributor in the Patreon program. And she said, I just want to drop you a little extra. You give such a great message every week. I prefer the longer shows, but I still listen to the shorter ones. Every single podcast you make is valuable to me. Wow. Thank you so much, Crystal. You are very generous, and I'm not worthy. I'm humbled now. Thank you so much. And to all the patrons that give their monthly contribution, I am very grateful to all of you. It warms my heart. If you find value in the show and you want to give back, head over to moretob.com and you'll find options to do that over there. And for a show on how to deal with a difficult relationship, listen to my other podcast called Love and Abuse over at loveandabuse.com. And if you know you're the difficult one in the relationship, join the program that is helping a lot of people heal over at healedbeing.com. And as a reminder, always do your best to keep an open mind, because that's how you make decisions that are right for you. Be firm in those decisions to let the world know who you are or who you're becoming. Always work on your personal growth and emotional evolution. You have more inside you than you could ever imagine. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.